You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
All right, did you know that there's a setting in your iPhone called Sounds and Haptics?
Yes, I did know that.
That no matter how much you push the volume button up, it doesn't change the volume of your alarm. So randomly, my alarm went to a 2 volume.
You didn't hear it. Yeah,
I didn't hear it. I was like, I think my neighbor's alarm is going off. And it was mine next to my head. Did you know this?
No.
What a horror feature for an iPhone.
Yeah.
The reason they do that is to avoid having some, you can change this, but sometimes if you raise your volume and you're listening to music, you may not want your alarm to also, you know, blow out your ear while you're sleeping.
Yo, Tim Cook, bruh, we don't need this.
Kevin, are you Apple customer service?
Are you an Apple guy?
Tim, how you doing, bro?
Yeah. Tim Cook, baby.
Okay, bro. We got one of your employees here.
Yo, Timmy Cocinar, bro. It's one of the most dumb features. I almost didn't make my show this morning because of it. And I didn't lower the volume on the haptics. I don't know what happened. This really grinds your gears, man. Yes. I didn't think you were that sort of guy.
I really didn't think you were that sort of guy.
Don't you understand when you have to wake up to get to a gig or something?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be. Look, I'm a little bit more tech savvy than Alexis, and you have to be. I didn't lower it. But you have to. I think it's now they changed it so that you can adjust the volume of each alarm individually. I think that's the case now. So you have more control.
We don't need control. Guess what an alarm is supposed to do? Wake you up.
Can you imagine living with this guy?
Could you imagine?
God damn it!
First of all, my wife better not be agreeing right now if she's watching and or listening.
She probably is. This is
what a dumb feature.
Alexis needs one of those old-timey alarm clocks with a little rattling bell.
Yeah. A little bird pop up. I need a little bird to pop up. Could you imagine if car makers were like, hey, we understand how uncomfortable seatbelts are, so you're going to click it, but sometimes it's just going to snap right off you. It makes no sense. Hey, we don't want to harm your face, so the airbag might not deploy.
All right.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, well, look, you live and you learn.
We need it for a reason.
Hello, everyone. Usually we've been introducing the show with things that are like mildly intriguing.
I did this on my own. I just said, I'm going to start yelling at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, you know what pisses me off nowadays? Hey,
so, you know what grinds my gears like?
Screaming like Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. Anyway.
Although I said pens, and look at what happened on the show.
Exactly. Look, pens have become a new character on the program.
I said I want to buy a nice pen. Nice. Right?
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Hello, welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
What's the crack? I'm Kevin Egan.
Yeah! We don't have to do the intro.
We didn't have to introduce him, but that...
You guys know Kevin.
Beautiful
Egan.
Irish voice that you are hearing right now.
Can you sing?
Do you know what? It's not about your ability. It's about your contribution. So, yes,
if you want me to sing, I'll sing. The answer is no. We don't want you to sing. You have such a great speaking voice. I wonder if it converts to a singing voice as well.
We can find out later.
Okay.
Oh, it's a local Irish pub here?
Yeah. Three pints of Guinness. The guy's saying yes, and I'm like, how do I lower the haptics on this guy singing? Tim, baby, you got a feature for Kevin Egan? I can lower
that. So, yes, the voice here is Kevin Egan of MLS 360. And we've known you for years, obviously, covering MLS, and you were part of WWE. We'll get into all of it, but absolutely honored. Are you a New Yorker? You living in New York proper?
No, I'm not a New Yorker at all. By the way, what a cool experience, Bella. Wake up, have a cup of coffee, stroll down the road, and chat to the Cooligans. Yeah. This is brilliant. But I did realize something on the way here. I mean, I'm walking through the streets of Manhattan, saying hello to people as they pass, not a single person would acknowledge me or have the decency to say good morning. I'm passing, I'm like, how you doing? Good morning, have a great day.
Not
who are you? Who are you that you deserve a good morning?
What do you mean deserve a good morning? Wishing people well.
No.
Ignorant New Yorkers.
You know what you've done is you've given a lot of people a story on the way to their office.
You can't.
They're going to get to the, you won't believe this crazy maniac outside talking to everybody.
They're letting anybody in this country.
See, the problem was, I went through this in
Chicago.
They're
going to build the wall at Shannon Airport.
That's crazy.
When I moved to Chicago, I met my wife a week later, right? I'm walking through the streets of Chicago, and I'm like, how you doing? She's like, Kev.
Where you going?
Kev.
Will you marry me? Will you marry me? Will you marry me?
Kev, you don't say hello to everybody. But then we move around. We go to Miami. We move to Atlanta. I'm the suburban dad. So when I walk down the road in Atlanta now, in Roswell, Georgia, everyone says hi to each other. Quick trip to New York? No.
Yeah,
no,
you're in Roswell, Georgia. Hey, nobody, you got nothing to do, so a hello from somebody's like, now suddenly there's something on my calendar.
Just admit the fact that you New Yorkers are just that little bit ignorant.
No, you know what's funny? The rest of society's going to meet us. We're ahead of everyone else.
It's far from ignorant. It is pleasant to not say good morning to you. We are not taking your time, consuming your time with this distraction. You're here. You're in New York here to, you know, sign deals, make money.
I suppose you don't mean it though. Like, let's be honest. If I said, "How are you doing?" the last thing I need is Bob the Builder walking down the road to say, "Ah." On that note.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Yeah, it's the worst answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, we've confirmed you are a suburban dad because you call somebody Bob the Builder.
Is that a cartoon?
That is a cartoon.
That is a cartoon. But yeah. So I'm walking down the road and there's a Ninja Turtle. And I said, how you doing?
Okay, I would have said Dora the Explorer walk up to me, you know, whatever.
And you would have said, hola, ¿cómo estás?
Because I have a 1-year-old, yeah, so okay, I'm learning as well.
Oh, man.
And I would have said an OnlyFans model because I am a childless adult.
Found myself talking about Kelly Kapowski last night. Speaking of flashbacks,
okay,
first big crush, Kelly Kapowski. Where are we?
I have a Kelly Kapowski T-shirt.
Nice.
I get complimented.
Like actually, Kelly Kapowski's
it
T-shirt.
Your wife
might want to tune out at this point.
Okay. It's one with the old school photo of Kelly Kapowski on it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we had a similar crush. What was the Did you consume a lot of American television?
Yeah,
in Ireland.
Big time. Okay. Big time. Sweet Valley
High.
Did
they dub it over?
No. It takes a bit of time. I mean, Home Alone will be out in Ireland next Christmas.
Okay. So, yeah. Amazing. No, I mean, look.
Hold on. I have a question. You're from Dublin, right? Did you see the portal they had between New York and Dublin?
Yeah.
Over under. How long did you think that was going to last before both of our cultures met each other?
I know. It's Dublin and New York.
Yeah. Like, what a dumb idea this is. For those of you who don't know, there was a, like, it looks like an orb almost, but it was a big screen with a camera and it was a live stream that people in Dublin could just walk up to and people in New York could walk up to and kind of wave at each other. And it started out nice, like, hello, we love you. Welcome to New York. I love New York. I love Dublin. And then it turned. It immediately turned where, again, two cultures that love, you know, BSing and, you know, here we call it cutting ass, but it was busting each other's chops.
Having a crack.
Yeah, having a crack. You know, smoking
crack
in New York. And immediately, I think what got it officially taken down was an OnlyFans model.
No,
her boyfriend distracted the police, and she flashed Dublin.
Yeah.
She flashed Dublin, and they were like, we need to cut this down. But here's a day before that, someone in Dublin held up a video of 9/11 into the portal.
Yeah.
And they did not shut it down.
It was
we can't have this.
It was both sides were responsible for shutting it down.
Yeah, it was really
bad. Yeah, but this is just a giant FaceTime. Okay.
It really is.
This is somewhat pointless in 2024. We don't really need to be doing this.
Right. This is a WhatsApp video call.
I wasn't very impressed, but let's get to know Kevin Egan a little bit, because you've had just such an awesome career ever since we've known you. We first started seeing you, I believe, on the Atlanta United broadcast, and we would go to Atlanta several times. We've done stand-up shows there. We did a live podcast there with Julian Gressel.
Atlanta for a very long time was our second home. We were there like every 6 months.
Exactly. And Atlanta United, when they got into the league, were the fans were incredibly welcoming. I think of everyone of us. It was really, really cool. But they love you as well.
No.
I mean, you. Dan
Not
Gargan,
more than you guys. Not more
Sakovic,
than you guys.
You're way
guys.
Wrong. You're a legend. They put up with us.
So how? Let's hear the journey of how you got, working in soccer and to that position.
Well, with Atlanta United, it wasn't.
Were you already
to
in the States?
Yeah. No, I'd worked for Chicago Fire for years.
Right.
Chicago
Oh,
Fire from what 2000 and. 12 originally to 2015, and then I got a job with BeIN Sports down in Miami. So like we packed up, we moved to Miami covering like El Clasico, and we had US men's national team games. Bunch of stuff. I was actually hosting the night the US failed to make the World Cup.
Oof.
Which was
right, yes, and I remember horrible. You were talking to
who was with Carlos Bocanegra, Kobe Jones.
You guys were all seated, right?
It was Jonathan Spector's first ever night on TV.
Wow. I remember you had to poor be like, Jonathan. So, Kobe Jones, thoughts?
Literally, can I tell you, like, they failed to make the World Cup. Carlos Bocanegra said, I don't want to go on TV. And I was like, we have to go on TV. And the floor manager's like, right now, we got to go right now. And Jonathan's like, oh my, what do I say?
Right.
What do we even, and then Kobe Jones came in and he was so angry. And then Taylor obviously did his thing. Yeah. You know, ESPN with Max Brenos and took over a little bit. But it was, that was a wild night. So then from BeIN Sports, I'm working there. And I get a random shout one time being like, hey, we noticed you're out of MLS 1 year. We have an opening for 5 games. Alan Green's been hired as Atlanta's play-by-play guy. He's a radio guy back in the BBC. Would you want to come in and do 5 games? I was like, absolutely. So I went into my boss. I was full-time at BeIN at the time and just said, look, could I do 5 games for Atlanta United? That's all. Nothing more.
I promise.
Yeah.
And, she means nothing to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then I think it was like August or September or so later in the year, they said, hey, would you want to come back and be our guy next year? Which was a championship winning season.
Right.
So yeah, a lot of fun.
What
yeah.
a hell of a season too. That was also when Juventus was there for MLS All-Star.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So the stadium got sold out. 2 times, but full stadium that I remember.
It was every game. The people of Atlanta are ridiculous when it comes to the support for this team. And it's the beautiful thing, and you guys have noticed this, it's every type of human being is inside the bends, you know? It's just beautiful. And it's
it looks
a transient
like a cruise
city.
Boat. Yeah. You know, it's like families, teenage, everyone's on here. Everyone's going in.
The puppies as
the
well.
The food's expensive. Yeah.
But it's a transient city. So many of us didn't relate to, and I live there now, and I didn't relate to the Braves, you know, or the Hawks or the Falcons. So Atlanta United come in and so many people grab on. And now the team is struggling at the moment. Hopefully they get back to winning ways pretty quickly. But at the bends, the atmosphere continues to be top class. They stand by the team. They're brilliant fans.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, and it's a bit of a bummer, obviously, the struggles that they're having like on the pitch. But that's your voice at least to me, it's like it's almost a little difficult hearing another announcer call a United game.
You get lucky though. As commentators, you really do get lucky. I got lucky in 2013 with Mike McGee. Mike McGee was MVP in MLS, and I was calling all the Chicago Fire games. And McGee is just scoring for fun. And he had do you remember the video with like Bruce Arena was in it, Thierry Henry was in it.
It was
Ferris Bueller's Day Off with Mike McGee.
Right,
it was just, it was infectious. That whole journey, the Fire, from the moment he signed to the end of the season, were the best team in MLS and lost out on decision day to the Red Bulls. They missed out on the playoffs. The Red Bulls won the Supporters' Shield that year. But that was a great story. Covering McGee gave a commentator something to hang on to, that little bit of hope. And that, like, honestly, if you want to talk WWE, that baby face for the fans to really tie in with and relate to. And that's the same with Joseph Martinez. Although to the rest of MLS, he was more of a heel.
He was the
Venezuelan Viper.
And he loved that.
He loved that stuff.
Actually, let's talk a little bit about WWE, because I think for a lot of people who are going to be watching our clips because your name is on it, that don't watch football, they're not soccer fans. You are a significant person in WWE.
But Kevin Patrick.
Used to be.
Used to be. But like for a lot of people, they associate you and your interviews and stuff with WWE. But you've gotten to see these wrestlers that I guess are in character and like, oh, this guy comes from the grave in order to write. But you know them as just like, oh, God, hey, I got to go mow the lawn. You know, you got to meet these people like a regular. How different are they? Do a lot of the wrestlers like stay in character? Like
some do. Like some live that character. You know,
really,
and others just absolutely don't, and they realize once they break away, and you can respect both. You can absolutely respect that if you're an out of the box character, obviously you have to break away. You go home to your family, maybe or whatever else.
They're like, you are not a hawk.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Like, take care of your son.
Chill out, Daniel Day-Lewis. Why are you having this stick?
Why'd you go to Meisner Wrestling School?
Relax. I just saw you got thrown through a table.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Like, there's The Undertaker, obviously, you reference it. There was the Viking Raiders. I mean, they're not Vikings after the show ends.
They're
brilliant, though. It was three unbelievable years. Like, talk about an unpredictable journey. To go and do that for 3 years and work with these high achievers. Like these people are incredible business people, incredible actors, performers. Most of them, like, you just click with so easily because they're in it for the right reasons. You know, the culture in there behind the scenes with the superstars is incredible.
That's awesome. Yeah. I never really had a respect for wrestling. I wasn't a fan ever, but there was a comedian named Dan Soder who explained, like, the correlation between how hard comedians work at making, like, nothing to hopefully one day make it and wrestlers. And I was like, oh, okay. Now I understand the
100%.
Game. I honestly just thought, like, muscular actors went into an audition and walked out. They're like, all right, buddy, I got
psychology. It's storytelling. It's how do you walk out in front of a crowd, which is exactly like what you guys do. And how do you get over is the wrestling term for it. How do you win them over? How do you have these people on your side? And that's organic. You can't fake that.
Right.
You know, and it takes time. It takes a lot of time. And some people, LA Knight's a guy in WWE over the last few years that hasn't been given the opportunity, say, from the Suits, yet he's been winning over the fan base and he's been making the Suits turn their minds a little bit toward him. So the majority of it, the great example is this past WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes, who, a great fella, brilliant guy. He's the current champion in WWE. Right. He wasn't supposed to be the guy. It was supposed to be Roman Reigns and The Rock at WrestleMania. And the fans around the world lost their minds. And they completely changed the whole storyline, which is really cool.
Cody Rhodes is Dusty Rhodes' son, right? Yeah. Okay. So
he's got blonde hair, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen his photo.
I haven't. Look, there was something that happened once I turned maybe like 16 or 17 where I was like, this is for babies, right? Like, I'm not supposed to continue watching this. And then something sort of happened. I'm not super into it, but I've gotten less like it, just like a rebellious child. You're just like, no, I don't like that toy anymore. You know what I mean? That's how sort of I felt.
An education for me, though. I mean, I wasn't a fan going in at all. Like, I never watched it growing up. But once you're in there, you realize, and the respect and the love for what they do, when it's done well. When it's done poorly, it's terrible. When it's done well, it's really infectious. And you see the effort that's put in behind the scenes.
Right.
So you're rooting for friends. You're rooting for people to succeed.
That's pretty dope.
You watch it play out live. Like, what other role would I ever get a job in or be in where you are, like, you're in front of this live audience, right? You've got Brock Lesnar being smashed through your desk on my first day. My notes are getting torn to shreds. And like,
did you know that was going to happen?
No, not in that moment. Like,
they know, but they don't tell you. Well, no, hey, buddy, I'm going to break a laptop in the second scene here.
You're told to a certain extent, but you obviously don't know the moment it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, like, I remember being on a plane one time on the way home, like, why is my leg killing me? And I got home and I had this massive bruise on my left quad. And it was because, you know, one of the female wrestlers was wearing like these big Doc Martens and she got thrown across the desk and I didn't get out of the way quick enough, you know, I got a big boot to the leg. So yeah, it's
funny that the wrestlers never have bruises, but you do the answer.
Wild journey, man.
Were there any physical work that you had to prepare for or do anything?
No.
Because sometimes the announcers get like a punch or something happens.
Were you ever part of a storyline?
No, not really. I mean, I was like, you did fun things. Like, I hosted game shows in the ring with like Randy Orton, and I was in a toga party where I was wearing a toga, and like, just stupid stuff that's fun. Like, in the moment, you're like, this is actually hilarious. I'm getting paid for this.
Well, and it's great, you know. This is where sort of my perspective of it changed a lot is when I started doing stand up and then learning that comedians were writers on WWE. There were several comedians that I highly respect that also wrote for WWE. Patrice O'Neal famously wrote for WWE and got fired after like 3 days because he wasn't taking the job seriously enough.
He was Patrice O'Neal.
Patrice O'Neal, so that's common. But that is just the aspect of the performative aspect, the preparation, the work is something to respect.
And you don't work there anymore, right?
No. I left in January and it was great for me, great for them.
Did anyone call you about the investigation going on?
No.
Okay, you good, right?
No, I'm good.
All right. I'm sure he signed something.
NDA.
But I just want to highlight, because this is one of my favorite things, is that you, you are, came from WWE, but you brought some of that energy to MLS 360 because
the promos.
The promos.
That I know and respect.
The promo. And I want to just, the one from last night, I got to play it on the show so we can just see, because this is...
Here we go, first Wednesday night MLS 360. Sean, what is going on here? We've got 13 matches tonight, so I'm about to kick off. We're gonna need some lights in here, folks. And we're gonna need our big screen on. And I'm gonna need my teammates. Oh my word, Bradley, BWP. Brad, what's going on, man?
Short turnaround. I thought I'd stay in the studio.
Where's Kaylin and Sasha?
I don't know.
It's the first midweek 360. We're in for some night here, folks.
Wake me up in 5.
Lovely. The acting, the timing.
Shocking. Brutal.
Yeah.
The blocking, the camera people, like, everybody.
The reveal.
The reveal.
It's amazing.
BWP, the snore.
Oh, my God.
Snoring.
And
I
also,
this morning,
the gentle tuck back.
How many takes? How many takes?
That was two.
Two takes.
Yeah. Not bad. Yeah.
And also the timing, the lines, the even BWP, the back and forth, yeah. There was the little bit of like, wake me up in 5. That the timing of it was absolutely perfect.
He just said that. He's a gem. Like, when you know, sometimes you land in a team setting with people and you just realize, okay, I'm where I need. Like, I remember the night.
We've never done that on the show.
No.
Christian's like, this can't be what the rest of my life is going
to
be, right?
But I had a moment back in, not to get too sentimental here, but back the day after I left WWE, right? And we were done. We parted ways. We do our photo shoot for MLS 360. We go out for drinks afterwards. And like, I found myself in a moment where like, I was thinking about the previous year, I was gone 5 days a week, a lot of weeks. And I'm trying to just play it down completely to WWE that I'm working elsewhere and doing a lot of travel, a lot of days elsewhere. And I'm playing it completely down to MLS. So I'm trying to please both bosses, Kevin Patrick, Kevin Egan, massively stretched. The family's at home. I have two kids. Like, my wife is stretched at home doing what she's doing, trying to figure out the schedule, figure out everything. And I found myself...
She's like, people won't stop saying hello to me on the streets. I can't get anything done.
But I found myself having a drink being like, this is where I want to be. This is where I need to be at this moment in my life. And it was a lovely feeling because Bradley, Sasha, Kaylin, our producer, owner, director Gemma, the six of us are tight-knit. We're getting together tonight. Like, we're just like a little family now. And it's growing. And hopefully we continue to improve the show. Hopefully it continues to get better.
Well, I hate to interrupt because we got to go, Kevin!
Let's go to Vancouver.
Let's head over to Nashville.
Not much of a goal today, actually.
It was for the bit. I didn't want to interrupt that very sweet thing. No, but it's great to see, having you on MLS 360 is, I'm sure you hear it a lot, but now it's starting, especially because this is the sort of complaint I have now, and I think a lot of people have with MLS, is it's nice that we have Saturday nights and we have we know the time. And that isn't even what I'm complaining about. My complaint is just really that there are so many teams and there's so many games happening concurrently.
All at the same time.
We need an MLS 360 more than ever now. So it's nice to have that place where, especially as someone who covers the league, I'm like, okay, I can't. It's almost impossible to watch every game. It is impossible.
Unless you could split your eyes, and then you could watch.
The Apple glasses. I'm sure they'll have some feature. But it is such a. I don't know. There's something to it being, you know, it's NFL red zone ish, but there's something. Because of it's a larger group of people, there's something that does feel like you're watching a family, watching all these games and getting all this information delivered to you at once. So that must feel pretty pleasant.
To keep the energy up, too, for all of that must be.
That's the job, though, isn't it? Like, you just do your job. But the one thing I'd hope is that if you don't follow MLS closely, right, that you dip in and out of 360, hopefully you'll get little nuggets of information that if you're going down to the pub with your buddies afterwards, you can say, Colorado. Have you seen the turnaround this season under Chris Armas? And you're able to at least have that little bit of knowledge that, you know, you can have fun along the way as well, I hope.
Yeah. I think I've found this doing the morning show. It's like there's a group of fans that are like, talk more about the one subject that they want. There's some fans that want you to do like 3 topics in 2 hours. And there's other fans that want you to do 35 topics in 2 hours. And then, you know, not get so deep in it, but just cover everything. And I'm sure the same thing happens on almost 360 because when you have that many games going on at the same time, you could literally talk ad nauseum about anything, but it's like you guys give good facts about each, jump to the next thing when something else happens.
And it's a balance. Like the show's changed an awful lot from last year. Last year, the show had interviews. It had a lot of things that weren't just the game action. Mm. And I think the big feeling going into this year was like, you've got to just focus on the games. You've got to focus on the goals. Don't miss anything. And it's fun, man. I'm loving it.
It was really fun. Yesterday was fun as well because we got the raccoon on the pitch at Subaru Park for NYCFC against Philly. And this was I love the fact that you guys were also having fun with it. I love
this. This is we're looking absolutely at hilarious.
Because they had to do this pretty quickly to add these graphics to all this and put all this stuff on the raccoon. I saw a heat map for the raccoon as well.
The heat map was great. I forget, it's Rory Mackel, something. He works for the league. He did the heat map, and I was like, this. Any right back would want, Serginho Dest would want this heat map.
So Rory McIlroy works for the league?
Rory something, McClory, something like that. I forget the. It's like,
what a stat that is, 161 seconds. The raccoon,
Raquinho.
Tremendous performance. And Philly needed some inspiration.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we
should have put a kid on him. Yeah. Are we sure it's not an Aaronson?
Lonemore Sullivan's around.
The Aaronson pet has now come out. I'll take care of this, boys.
No, that was just a fun moment. Are we more excited about the raccoon on the pitch over Messi arriving in the league? Do you know what I mean? It made that much of a splash.
Jorge Mas is like, get me a raccoon!
People are talking Suarez, it's newcomer of the year. Raquinho.
Do you see the thing at the bottom? It says NYCFC edges Union in thrilling 2-1 victory.
That's not a great.
We got to change the wording on that.
Change the wording a little bit.
For how long? 90 minutes. That's impressive.
Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Ireland. Because Alexis and I have both been there. I've been to Dublin. Alexis have been to a couple more different towns and cities. But we're just huge fans of Ireland. And there is something, and it's hard to sort of explain. There's a certain welcoming nature. I was in Dublin. I performed at the International.
I performed at Whalen's.
Whalen's.
Halfpenny Bridge as well. And you know, I did a tour. I've talked about this on the show before, but I did a tour of a Kilmainham jail.
No way.
And then I saw that in the Name of the Father was filmed there. Yeah. So then I watched in the Name of the Father and just fell in love with just Irish films, right, as they say. But then also
films.
Yeah. But then, you know, the game, my brother is a professional handball player.
No way.
And handball came from Ireland. The Irish immigrants brought it to New York, and that's why there's handball courts all over every single park. So there's like a lot of weird sort of and interesting connections. But
we have our own sports. I mean, handball was part of that. Gaelic football and hurling. My dad was a Gaelic footballer with 2 All-Ireland medals in the 70s. And hurling is the fastest.
I was actually going to give a good story about hurling.
Okay, because hurling is the fastest field sport in the world. Don't you start telling us what your version of hurling means.
No. Baseball and soccer mixed together, really fun. But here's the tough part. So I was told, I got to Galway the day after Galway won their first hurling championship in a long time.
No way.
Driving in a Galway, and everyone said Galway's beautiful. I'm like, hey, why are all the potters outside, like all the pottery things that like stop a car from hopping the curb, you know, like the large planters? Yeah. I'm like, why are all the planters broken? There's dirt everywhere. I'm like, Jesus Christ, what a dirty city. I check into the hotel. I'm like, bro, what's going on outside? It looks like a parade happened. She's like, oh yeah, we just won the hurling championship. So you're seeing it the day after when it hasn't been cleaned
yet. Not the prettiest sight.
So she goes, you're going to see some of the hurling guys around. And I'm like, I found out that they work for free, technically. They're amateur. Yeah. So, but they get access. Because they're amateur, they can literally walk to the front of any line they want. So you're going to see them. And I go, how will I know? They're like, well, they're huge and their hands are messed up, right? So I'm standing in line. And there's a bakery in Galway that sells this. They make this one massive loaf of bread and they sell it by piece throughout the day. And when they're done, they're done. They have a bunch of other stuff. So I'm waiting in line. I'm next and the end is there and I want the end. And all of a sudden, this mountain of a human being, this like 7 foot, both wide and tall, 7 foot, just like a monster, walks up. And every finger is pointing in a different cardinal direction. I mean, pinky's that way. This finger's going that way. Just this huge. And I tap his shoulder, which, by the way, sounded like, you know? I tap his shoulder and I was like, you a hurler? And he's like, yeah. He's like, how'd you know? I go, bro, your hands are fucked up. And he starts laughing. He goes, try putting your hand up to catch a ball and a bunch of guys swinging their sticks at your hand. I was like, bro, that sounds terrible. And then I realized they don't pay for any food because he walked up and they handed him bags and bags of like, they had like, you know, like chicken salad. They had a bunch of like soups, all this stuff that they would sell. They just handed him like a week's worth of food for me and you, but like probably 2 days for this amount of human being. And he just walked down and he was like, thank you. And luckily he didn't buy the piece of bread. But I was just like, what a completely different country to where
but
I
it's
live.
One of the most bonkers thing about Ireland that like most people would never relate to that. That these guys could be playing in front of 82,000 people at Croke Park on an All-Ireland Championship Sunday. And the next day, some of them might have to go to work. Some of them might be school teachers. Imagine the headache. After winning the All-Ireland, you're out in Copperface Jack's, which is the famous nightclub in Ireland that a lot of the GAA players go to afterwards. Having the crack, and next day you're like, See you, teacher. Getting
roasted by a teenager.
I just scored the winning goal yesterday. I mean,
you got your hand on the hurling stick. Like, oh, say something about my sneakers now.
They'll get passes in the sense that like the companies take care of them. But
I heard a lot of them are no show jobs. Like if you're a big superstar, like yeah, you're a teacher, but you don't have a lot of classes.
Yeah, you go golfing.
Yeah.
You get taken care of.
I love that. That book, as a New Yorker, I'm a fan.
That's like, you know, when Beckham arrived in the league and everybody was gardeners and pool cleaners, according to the Beckham documentary. Yeah.
But there's something about playing for your local county. There's something about it in Ireland that's so stupidly special versus anything that we have. We don't have that here at all. Like, I'd love if, imagine if there was a soccer league for states, and if you're like, whatever state you were born in, you had to play for.
This
and that's
has been
it.
An idea. I've talked about this on the show. There should be a World Cup, a States Cup.
Yes.
Where only people born and raised in New Jersey, only people born and raised in New York, born and raised in Florida, play for that state. Imagine the best way, but no professional team would ever let them play.
What? Like, I'd love to see Idaho in action.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got, Idaho.
So you're doing a 3-0-0 formation?
Fascinating.
Interesting.
Stuff.
And they're like, can we get the raccoon now? We've got no one playing this sport.
We got a raccoon population that could fill out the rest of this roster.
Bro, Ronquinho's agent is not calling me back, dude.
I mean, look, he's grade A, top, you know, cream of the crop. Yeah. It has to be his children, maybe. Yo. Anyway.
Well, how much fun would that be, though? Seriously.
I think it'd be amazing. From,
like, let's say Philadelphia, all right? Like, you've got... Or Pennsylvania, you've got like the Sullivans, you've got the, you know, the Aronses, like we mentioned, you've got Raquinho, you've got
Pulisic.
All the local heroes. Yes, Pulisic, exactly. So it would be brilliant to see that. I mean, Florida, think about their team. New York,
New Jersey would win the whole thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I thought you go to California, you joke me?
Nah, they're too relaxed.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
And we all know there's never been a good player to come out of California ever, right?
What, Landon Donovan? Dusty now. He's old. He's out the game. No, I mean, New York and New Jersey produce a lot of great players.
Texas
produces. It's a big state. Yeah. They got to cut that down to 3 or 4.
Without a doubt.
That's okay. A great idea, though.
I do.
I don't know if it'll ever happen in football.
I do. Okay. I want to get some questions in. I'll just pepper them in from our Patreon.
Shouts to Gully Squad. Shouts to everyone.
Patreon.com/soccercooligans. We want to get in on some of the questions. But Nicole Hack. I don't know if you know
Nicole
Hack.
Love homie, Nicole.
Love Nicole. Yeah. She asked a question. What do you miss most about living in Chicago? Clearly, he doesn't miss how successful the Fire have been.
I miss the people, genuinely. Like you say, Nicole Hack, I think of Jeff Crandall, I think of Ben Burton, I think of some of the great Chicago Fire people that I met over the years there, and so passionate about the club, but the people of Chicago. My mother's from Chicago. My wife's from Chicago. When I moved over, I lived with my grandmother for a little bit in Chicago.
Your
as
mother's
well.
From Chicago?
Yeah. My ma's from like Wrigley Field area.
Wow.
She's from Madison Street.
What? Like, tell us that story. How they? What?
My dad was a Gaelic football player.
Why you talk like this?
My dad.
explain yourself.
I was trying to find the right way to say it.
I'm from Chicago, man. I'm from Chicago this whole time.
Well, you're really good at accents.
No, they just hate the fact that I put ketchup on a hot dog. They don't like it in Chicago.
Yeah, no, you can't do it.
They
in
say
New York
I'm not
either.
One of them. But Chicago, my ma's from there. My dad won 2 All-Irelands playing Gaelic football, and they toured America after winning in 1977. And they met in a bar, kept in touch. They used to write letters to each other, phone calls. All that malarkey. And eventually, my dad moved here. They moved back to Ireland. Ma was pregnant with me when they moved back. And so I was born in Ireland and raised there. But I always had this massive love and grow, as we say in Ireland, for Chicago. Chicago being my second home. Really,
Chicago's a great
My brother lives there now, Roscoe Village, and is a Fire fan. So, like, Chicago will always have the special place. But, man, the team.
Yeah.
You've got to figure out a way.
It's hard to explain, yeah.
At least they fixed the logo. All right,
but they'd be nothing. The Fire would be nothing without the likes of Nicole Hack and without the likes of Ben Burton.
Without that, you know.
Who's Mad? What's his dude who buys all the beers? Mad?
Mad Javier.
You know, Maniacs, bro. These people love this.
He's the guy, he bought 100 beers for Chicago Fire, I think away fans at a Columbus game. So he went up to the booth and was like, 100 beers for the next 100 people. Yeah. He just bought
He owns like a taco shop, so he makes food for everyone. He feeds people.
They got a local guy in charge, you know, in Mansueto, and he's ambitious. So I really hope it works out. Like the money's clearly been there to put in, and I hope they can figure it out, you know. And I want Frank Lopez to do well. Frank Lopez is Mr. Chicago Fire. There's so much about it that, especially being back at Soldier Field instead of Bridgeview, there's so much about the Fire movement that you want to see just click into place and succeed. And
I mean, and we were speaking of Nicole Hack, but Nicole Hack has been a president of the supporters.
Section 8.
Section 8. And then just recently, I think I just saw her. She posted like a photo of an away game from like, I don't know, 2003 or something like that.
She's been there.
And bro. It's just like, and it's one of those things where you realize like, oh, there's people that are so deeply ingrained to MLS clubs. And a lot of times, if you just base everything on like, you base your perception on like comment sections, MLS is a retirement league and blah, blah, blah. No, and like, no. And it's just like,
because you don't meet the people, the stands is the truth.
Yeah, yeah, the people that have always been there from the beginning are the ones that carry the culture of the team. And when I think of people like Nicole Hack, that's what sort of comes to mind. So it's very,
it's beautiful you remember those names, man. No, that's all, that's
really
cool.
They were beautiful to me.
Yeah.
Like, think about, I was this kid who got an opportunity randomly. Like I started an online soccer show at the Big Ten Network for free. I was a graphics producer at the Big Ten Network, and I'll never forget, like, I couldn't get an opportunity calling games. I kept trying and trying, and the guy there was like, look, I want an American accent. I don't want your, and that's fine, because other opportunities, I'm sure.
We don't understand you.
Yeah.
But it's one of those. Like,
what are you saying, man?
I think of those old, like, you know, with Irish need not apply. Yeah. It's like, why is this? This is like 15 years ago.
But I guarantee, like, the opportunities I've been afforded have fallen my way more than the ones that haven't. So, like, that didn't mean much. And I remember my wife, my girlfriend at the time, right, Meg.
She's American or Irish?
She's from Chicago, American. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's like this soft-spoken, beautiful, old-fashioned, like, no social media. It's like you walk into the house sometimes and it's like a black and white movie. She's like baking and the record player's on. And
yeah.
She said to me, like, what are you going to do? Like, 'cause I was really upset by the fact that this guy just wouldn't give me a chance. And she goes, so you're going to let him win? Are you going to go through him? Or are you going to go around him? Those are your options.
That's,
and
it Chicago. Was like,
that's
the
Chicago.
That's the Chicago.
Chicago. Do I got to call an uncle? How does this work?
I think your wife coaches running backs.
Yeah. I think your wife is the star of Friday Night Lights.
No, man, that's
a beautiful thing to say, though.
It was unreal. It was in the moment. I'm like, you've just motivated me more than you can imagine. So the next day, I thought about it. And I'm like, well, I can't go through the guy because he's one of the big bosses for remote, like all the TV remote side of things. I'm not going to let him win, so I have to go around him. And I went into my boss for studio, a guy named Quentin Carter. I love you for this opportunity for the rest of my life. And I said, Q, I have this idea. Like, I'll come in before my shift. I'll do the graphics. I'll edit the tapes. I'll do everything. If I could just get 10 minutes in studio to do, like, an online soccer show. Look it up there, Chris. It's the most embarrassing. It is the most embarrassing show. Like, when
What's
I think back, I'm so BTN Soccer Report. And Q, the most laid-back guy in the world, said, I don't care, Dubs. He said, just don't get in the way. They call me Dubs, being from Dublin.
Dublin?
He said, just don't get in the way, right? So I did it. And then the Chicago Fire came about as a sideline reporter, which eventually led to commentating, which eventually led to, you know, being sports and the rest.
So. Oh, is this it?
This is, look at this, look at this.
Whose suit did you borrow?
This is Marshall's finest.
This is, good God. Okay, well, you look like, this is what Christian would look like if he wore my suit.
This is adorable.
How old are you here?
Like 24, 25.
You look every bit of 14 years old. Oh, man.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Egan, and welcome to this year's first edition of BTN Soccer Report. Last season was a huge success for Big Ten men's soccer, and the conference has hit the ground running with some fantastic preseason results this term. Expectations are high, and we hope you'll enjoy the journey with us here on BTN.
Are you trying to limit your Irish accent there a little bit?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You sound more Irish now.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, well, think about it. Think about where I'm coming from. This guy wouldn't let me call games because of my accent.
Yeah. So subconsciously.
Subconsciously, I'm probably,
And you nailed this. This is like.
No, it's terrible.
No. I mean,
it's not great, but it's
not
bad.
No.
It's not bad, though.
Did you see the suit?
It's not.
Did you see all of the suit?
Oh, I haven't watched the full thing, I guess.
It's from the Steve Harvey line.
He read the prompter confidently.
He's good at his job.
It's just that.
You don't put this on the CV. You don't send this to prospective clients.
I did. That was the problem.
Oh, man. Early on.
I'm impressed. I mean, look, this is, the suit's a little big. Okay, you look like one of the kings of comedy.
100%.
Okay.
Look, Kevin the Entertainer is going to take you through the Big Ten.
I remember going into Marshall's and being like, this is only $30? This is unreal. Yeah. This lovely gray suit, $30?
The bargains.
Yeah.
You know?
Why isn't everyone in here? That is amazing.
Okay. I want to get back to MLS a little bit and just the...
more questions?
What?
Nicole,
I have more. I mean, they might take a look. Actually, you know what? This might take something you might have to we have to think about and get back to. But this is a great question. This is from Freddy Alarcón. He's a Freddy's the homie. He's an Orlando City fan and an Orlando Pride. And he asked, "What's your wrestling starting 11?" Which might be a bit much, but I was thinking maybe five, a five-a-side.
We'll
of wrestlers.
Five-a-side.
I think that might be
no keeper.
That I like.
Yeah.
My five-a-side.
Like, who would be your wrestling five-a-side that you think could actually be competent on the pitch and actually and maybe do well?
All right. Okay.
So I don't know.
Do I have to pick a goalkeeper here?
Yeah, you can do keeper and four, or you can just do five and no keeper.
At the back, I think I'm going to go with Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Right,
like okay. Sheamus,
we met him at the NBC Premier League Fan Fest.
Liverpool and Rangers fans, they're great. They're two friends. They're brilliant. I think you'd probably go with Cody Rhodes pulling the strings in midfield. Further forward, then I'm sticking with my Irish here. My Irish are my buds. I want Becky Lynch pulling the strings further forward, and then Finn Balor will tuck away the chances and put him away. Big Spurs fan.
Okay, well, it's easy to pick the Europeans. You know,
I pick Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes is the one.
There's no one more America than Cody Rhodes.
That's a good point.
Without a doubt. Okay, so that was the one. I thought that would be a little bit more complicated.
You ever mistakenly call them by their actual, like, their government name?
I did once.
Really?
On commentary.
Great job, Brian. It's like Undertaker.
On commentary with, it was the only time I was filling in for Michael Cole, who's a legend in that world. And I was working alongside Wade Barrett, who is actually Stu Bennett. So I'm on air and like, Jey Uso's doing his thing and everybody's joining in. I'm like, come on, Stu, join me. As soon as I said it, I went,
oh boy.
I'm like, that was bound to happen.
Yeah. And Wade's like, who's that? I've never heard of him.
I tried to play it off like one of the camera guys there is Stu. So I tried to play it off like I was talking to one of the camera. Nah, it didn't work.
Let's just talk about this MLS season so far. Obviously, I guess
timing. Messi's here.
And what was the, it's been a fun, at least the beginning of it, when Messi got here was obviously a huge, huge show. But when now at the beginning of the season and, they were in Champions Cup and, even Messi was just out the other day. So it's feeling a little bit like normalized, like, oh, yeah, Messi's here. What's the big deal or whatever. But there's something still remarkable that even though we know that he's here and we know that he's probably going to do something spectacular every game, he still manages to do something spectacular every single game. And he is, I forgot what the stats are. I think it's like 10 goals and 12 assists or 13 assists.
I think he has 22 goal contributions.
Yeah. Something along those lines. And it's just so, is that something we should be proud of? That he is absolutely humiliating any other records that existed?
But he did it in every league.
Yeah.
Like, this is my... people stop when people want to have a go at MLS because Leo Messi's producing in Major League Soccer. Get over yourself. Go for a walk. Listen to a podcast. Tune into the Cooligans because he's done it in every single league he's been to. Every record in football, this fella's broken. And what the difference is right now for a physical specimen like he is, who keeps himself incredibly fit and healthy, is that he's happy. Leo Messi was through a turbulent time with the breakup from Barcelona, and then, of course, he goes to PSG, well-publicized move that he didn't really enjoy. He comes here having won the World Cup. Imagine the weight lifted off his shoulders. And then he comes into a team with his best pal, Suarez. He's got Busquets feeding him passes, and he's got one of the best relationships that he's ever had on the field was with Jordi Alba, and he's got him there as well. His wife and kids are happy. They're on the sideline watching him perform. Why would he not produce? Like, he's still, for me, a top three player in the world today. Today, he gets in every single team in the world, no question. Right? Do you disagree?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's a tough time at City.
No.
And that's about it?
With Pep.
Who do you bench?
Who do you not bench? Like, seriously.
Bench Ederson.
Are you telling me that, like, he can't play that Bernardo Silva role?
Oh, no, he absolutely
can. Or, like,
can.
They all, like, Pep Guardiola, who's the biggest Leo Messi fan on the planet, doesn't alter things slightly because he's got the greatest mind that's ever existed in the game in his team.
That's a good point.
Like, he'd fit right in at City. It's the Liverpools, maybe, that you'd go, all right, well, with the way they play, they'd have to adjust their game because of this.
I'd love to hear like Red Bull Salzburg be like, we're not sure.
I don't know if he really fits.
Yeah. You sure you're not sure? Yeah. I think it'd help.
I don't think this offer is going to last long.
He's here. You might want to give him a shirt.
Leo, I know you have 10 goals and 12 assists, but you didn't run 16 miles.
Also, I do want to say you miss one person, that's Tata Martino, one of his favorite coaches. I know they had an up and down relationship, but it seems like if you're going to have, it'd be tough for him to like, here, you couldn't get a job because of your American, your Irish accent. I think it'd be tough for Messi to listen to an American accent and be like, we got to get out there and get him. To have Tata Martino kind of be like that, the leader, so to speak, I think it makes it even warmer for Messi.
And we talk about early coach of the year candidates. No one's mentioning Tata. Everyone's talking about like Chris Armas in Colorado. I'm sorry, but like, can we not talk about the fella who's somehow making this work with, alongside Montreal, the longest list of injuries in the league?
Yeah.
Wait until they've got Gomez back, Redondo back, Farias back, and I know he was on the season-ending injury list, so that allowed them to go and get Rojas, who's been ridiculous.
What a pickup. I mentioned it last week. I'm just like, who is this guy? How is he How is he just available? This is and the fact that players...
So what's up with the scouting network for every other team where you don't know this guy's available?
But like, isn't it a great thing that ambition has been rewarded? For the other teams that aren't being ambitious in any way, like take a look at what Miami's doing. They're dragging the league forward right now. And
absolutely.
I love to see it. And everyone should love to see it. LAFC, same thing. Atlanta United through the years, same thing. The list goes on of the ambitious teams, both on the pitch and off it, that are changing the game for Major League Soccer. Miami have changed the game.
Yeah.
And we should all be applauding everything that they've done. And the owners that need to step up should be told, as far as I'm concerned, you've got to try and up your game a little bit as well. And I think teams are. Like, you look at a side like Dallas spending $9 million on Petr Musa from Benfica, who was linked with a lot of top teams in Europe who decided to come to Major League Soccer. Like Chicago, we've talked about them needing to improve, but they just dropped $12 million on the Belgian Golden Boot winner in Hugo Kuipers. So hopefully this trend continues and we welcome in both the young players like Thiago Almada's of the world, but also if Olivier Giroud wants to come to MLS and he's that handsome, obviously
open the door.
The handsomeness gets you right in.
MLS should be like, have you ever driven through Long Island, unfortunately?
Sure I have, yeah.
Okay. The LIE, the Long Island...
Expressway.
LIE? Oh, yeah, Long Island Expressway. They have a speed max.
Obviously. I went to Best Page golf course,
Okay.
I've gone, yeah.
They have a speed limit, but they also have a speed minimum. Nice. So you get a ticket if you're driving too slow.
Mm.
That's what MLS should do. Hey, maybe you can't spend over this, but I don't want to see you spending less than this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We need you to up your spend. Yeah. We need a middle
ground.
Yeah,
we need Garber behind these owners honking. Keep it moving.
Yeah, get out of the left lane!
We are seeing it, though, gradually. Like, Colorado had a big offseason with the players that they spent on and they're bringing in.
So hopefully, just such a great hire.
He's a lovely player. Hopefully, this is just a sign of things to come. There's no doubt in my mind that when I think back to 2012 and I first started in the broadcasting world here, our first broadcast in 2012, Chicago Fire fans, hit me up if you remember this, was the inaugural match in Major League Soccer for Montreal, for the Impact at the time. It was at the Olympic Stadium in Montreal. Mm-hmm. We broadcast that match, myself, Dan Kelly, and Evan Whitfield, from the NASCAR studios in Charlotte to save a dime.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't go to Montreal. And like, the game has changed. We're now on Apple TV. We're going across the world. It's like a 10-year deal. It's just really cool to see.
That's so dope.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that from your end, like the international viewers? Like, are you, I don't know, feedback? Are you seeing tweets?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. We got a few tweets last night from there's like... MLS fans in Spain that have a supporters group that watch, and there's great stories like one of.
How do you explain raccoons?
How
are you explaining this to the Belgian MLS fans?
I love the stories of like Wobodo, for example. Obina Wobodo plays for Cincinnati that his mom watches in Nigeria.
That's
beautiful. MLS season pass. It's just cool. It's available if you want to watch the game and you've got a thing for Major League Soccer. You can watch from anywhere.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's been something like the especially covering the league so much and doing a show like MLS 360. There's a bit of a Miss Rachel. Have you heard of Miss Rachel? It's like for kids. It's like the YouTube show.
His kid's
like
a year old. So.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of its references have shifted.
Your kids may enjoy it.
It's been known to happen.
Yeah.
But it's almost like people have basically, especially during the pandemic, like kids saw her as like, this is my teacher. This is my second mom or whatever. But there's something about watching you on MLS 360 of like, this is our soccer dad who's telling us how to, you know, what to do, what to pay attention to, what's the lesson for today. So I'm sure there's a little bit of pride and sort of ownership in like pushing that culture forward of Major League Soccer.
If I could do this for the next 9 years, I would sign me up right now because I believe in it. It's one of those things that like sometimes you're in something and you can't buy in fully because your emotion, your sense of self just won't allow you to. With this, I'm all in. And I feel like, and I know Sasha, Kaelin and Brad understand that and they feel that for me because I hope I'm coming across to them that way. And I want to be a good teammate. I want to be a good host and do whatever we need to do to hopefully invite people in. And I always say hosting's like, hosting a party in your house. Like, you decide how you want to welcome people in and open the door. How, what type of music do you want to set?
You set the vibe.
You have to. You have to. Yeah.
Now, what are the lads? What are the boys back at? I don't know. Are you up the bows? Are you Shamrock
yeah,
Rovers?
Yeah, my dad. You know, growing up, the League of Ireland was. League of Ireland's doing much better today than it was when I was growing up. My dad was.
I love
always,
the hashtag greatest bows. League in the world.
Yeah.
Such a great.
Damien Duff is the manager now at Rovers, and he's all in. So,
are you a Rovers guy?
No. No, my dad was Bose, so it would have probably been a little bit more Bose, but not really.
Like, I have a Bose kid. I think you also have a Bose kid, no?
No, I don't.
I have a Bose kid at home, up to Bose. What are the fellas in Ireland that you speak to, some of your friends or whatever growing up? You're now working for MLS, you're blah, blah, blah. Messi's there. Are you hearing anything? Is there a little bit more interest from some of the...
I think so. They're full of questions. Like, they all want to check it out. I they've got to get MLS season pass, though. So a lot of them... might be reluctant right now. It's something that maybe they'll do down the line. Yeah. But I hope they do. Like, it's a chance to watch a game. I mean, it's late in Ireland too.
Yeah.
But for us here in this country, like, I craved for so long wanting to be able to sit back and watch a game in the evening. Like, I love nothing more. When I get home on a Sunday, if there's a good Sunday night game, get the kids to bed, you know, cup of tea or crack open a beer and enjoy a game. Like, I miss that, you know?
Yeah. I wish I didn't have to go to bed so early on Sundays so I could do that.
Yeah.
Because Saturday and Friday, I'm like, I want to be out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're making fun of us about the dad. You're in bed at like 7 p.m.
I'm the grandpa.
You're the grandpa.
Yeah. You guys are the dad.
I want to talk real quick because we mentioned Manchester City earlier, but I want to make sure we get to this about Manchester City and Spurs. They had their game. Obviously, the title race in the Premier League is it's down to the final day. Arsenal fan Alexis is a little bit concerned about what the results are going to
be. And I hate agreeing with Ange Postecoglou. but that's not what I got into this for.
Dude, don't tell me you don't like him.
Oh, no, I do like him. And that's what I hate about this.
Yeah, that was the conundrum, right? Spurs, if they win, they have a better shot to qualify for Champions League. If
they
lose,
assist Arsenal.
Yeah, yes. And if they lose, they basically give City the title.
Come on, David Moyes. We believe in you.
So Manchester City has to beat West Ham to clinch the title. And then Arsenal have to win against Everton and for West Ham to beat Manchester City. Yeah. But that was the conundrum, right? Spurs fans were okay with their team losing. And the
conversation in the week leading up was, I hope we lose, bring out the kids. You know, I text a couple Spurs friends. I was like, what do you want the result to be? I heard everything from 23-0 City winning to whatever it is, I hope we lose. Whatever hurts Arsenal, I hope we do. This Ange Postecoglou, an Australian guy who just coached at Celtic, this is his first year at Tottenham, and he was like, hey, what is all this talk about us losing?
Yeah. It's such a loser mentality from Spurs fans. It is.
Yeah.
I'm not with that at all. And I'm 100% with Ange. I agree with him completely. You're going to have Spurs fans yelling at him, telling him to throw the game. And these are fans. Ray Hudson was on Sirius. Ray Hudson was on Sirius the other day and he nailed it. He's like, they're not supporters. They call themselves fans, sure, but they're not supporters of the team. Any supporter doesn't wish that their team loses in a big game. And at that point, Spurs still had a chance to make the Champions
100%,
League.
Yeah.
Like, if they would have won that, they would have put themselves in the driver's seat.
If Son gets past Stefan Ortega, they still have a chance
for
Champions League.
Think about that loser mentality for a second. You've still got a chance to make the Champions League. Villa have to go away against Crystal Palace, who've been a really exciting team at stages this
season. Oli Glasner's doing a great job.
There. Yeah, and Villa have their awards night, so they're all going to... There was a chance that Villa would slip up anyway at the weekend. You have a chance to beat City and potentially make the Champions League. And you're talking about losing so Arsenal don't win the league. I'm sorry. That is a loser mentality.
Yeah.
In some cases, you've already lost.
Yes.
If you want your team to lose, your rival has already won.
It's wild to me that rhetoric is so popular and so loud within the Spurs.
I get it on
supporters.
Twitter. That's where that rhetoric should be. On
the internet, yeah, I get it.
But at the stadium?
To bring it to the coach?
You paid money to watch your team lose? Yeah. There was a season ticket holder who said they were trying to get, a Spurs season ticket holder, was trying to get seats in the away end so they could root for City.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine that?
If I was that person's boss at work and I found that out, I'd be like, I have serious questions about my team. Big time. About who am I employing?
Right.
Like,
right.
What sort of mentality do you
You no longer
exist
work at
with?
Google. Why is Bing on your screen right now?
It is kind of remarkable. It's one of those things that, and Postecoglou's post-match press conference, the disgust on his face. And he
said the fragile foundations have been revealed over the last 48 hours. Yep. So there's a little bit more reporting that's being done by Spurs beat writers that have said a lot of the fans think that was him seeing the fans. But it turns out there were some people even in the front office.
Oh, the call is coming from inside the house.
Inside the house. There were people on the staff that were joking, hey, play the kids. Yo, we don't want to lose. And even the mere idea of Joey. Think about Pep. Think about Mikel Arteta. Think about Carlo Ancelotti. If you show any anti-this, if you're not 100% loyal, focused on winning, you're out.
Yep.
And now Ange Postecoglou just realized, like, oh, no.
Yeah. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was stuck in traffic in his Lambo, and he never saw the pitch again. You know what I mean? Like,
this is elite performance we're talking about. Like, any cracks at all, and you've got a few moles.
Yeah.
You know, in the organization, you've got people that want the team to lose. Get out. Like, that... Oh, man, this grinds my gears again. I'm going to bring that up one more time.
Yeah, please.
I can't stand that mentality. Yeah. I can't stand it.
Yeah, it's odd. There's a wild and intense sort of tribalism. Mm-hmm. That's what it sort of kind of reminds me of.
But what is it for? Because you don't want the banter in a group chat?
That's it.
You want your own team to lose because you can't handle a couple of bits?
You had a chance to make the champion. This is the biggest thing for me. Spurs, think about the windfall of cash. Think about the opposition next year. Yeah. Think about the outlook if you make the Champions League.
Think about the players you can sign because you're in Champions League.
And they want their team to lose. So forget about the Champions League, but just don't give the Premier League to her. Like, come on.
Right. And
it's weak.
What do you get for just qualifying for Champions League? Isn't it like 40 million?
There's a new format, but you're almost, even if you get, I don't think you get bumped out into Europa, but the teams that got bumped out of Europa were almost guaranteed, I think, 25 to 30 million pounds, and then the ones below them was like 15 to 20. That's a significant amount of money.
I'd take the banter for a couple extra million dollars in my bank
account.
Can't
hear you count all this money.
Enjoy your trophy, I guess. I got millions of dollars. Yeah.
Would you have been the other way? If it was Spurs looking to win the title as an Arsenal fan, how would you have felt?
If I was like in 10th place, I'd say, who cares? I don't care what happens. I'm not going to root for my team to lose, but I'm not going to be furious knowing that my pain hurts someone else more. I forget, there's a word in German for it. Nico mentioned it on the show. But if I had something on the line like Champions League, I could care less what happens to you. Go enjoy your parade. I want progress for my club.
Yeah, that seems. I mean, he says that now.
I think I've been pretty. You've heard me for years on this show.
It's wild. I mean, look, when I went to London,
I would just say, let's poison their lasagna.
When Alexis and I went to the Emirates to go watch a match, and
it was against West Brom, who were in the second division, right? The Carabao Cup match.
Yes.
And so nothing to do with
how'd you get tickets for that?
Yeah. We were actually in a suite because no one wanted it.
So it was Arsenal against West Brom. So obviously
6-0 win by Arsenal.
Spurs have nothing to do with this. And the entire evening, I'm hearing about Spurs. I'm just hearing,
Tottenham get better.
What do we think of shit?
Tottenham.
What do you think of Tottenham? Shit.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Oh, but I mean, I get it. I'm like, oh, I've heard this song once or twice. It was the entire night.
First whistle to final whistle. Then we go outside, and everyone outside is chanting, what do you think of Tottenham? And the whole crowd.
I'm just like, bro, you guys have anything else to talk about?
Yeah. Christian's like, they ain't even here, man.
This is the thing, is that these two clubs need each other. They need to hate each other. This is why it's so perverse, this perspective of wanting, of willing to lose so the other doesn't.
They're like siblings. They're like country siblings that don't want to leave their small town.
Yeah. 100%.
You know, they don't want the other to succeed, so they'll leave.
But I think the dark secret is, or the real truth is, it wouldn't be as fun without them. On both sides.
Without a doubt.
Spurs fans would not have as much fun supporting Spurs if they couldn't hate Arsenal.
Messi, Ronaldo, Arsenal same fan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wild. So, all right. I wanted to just make sure we got to that. But we should wrap up. Because Kevin Egan, thank you so much for joining us. It's been super cool.
What a pleasure.
Long overdue. You are someone we've wanted to have on the show in a long time. And I'm honored that we could have you on the show in person as well as you're in town doing MLS 360.
Yes, you do a great job on the show. Your energy is amazing. Your voice is synonymous with Major League Soccer in a way where I hope you don't ever leave.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It means a lot. And you guys are gems. Keep up the great work with the Cooligans. Everything beyond that too.
Yes, and best of luck with BTN Soccer Report.
Yes. Oh my
God. I think it's gonna kick off.
How did I not win an Emmy for that? Yeah.
What's SEC soccer up to?
You know what's cool though? Here's the cool thing is that like I see now today, it just goes to show how long ago it's been, like that the likes of Will Bruins, an older player. He was like big BTN, like Big Ten soccer
striker of the year or whatever. Justin Merrim was my first interview.
Whoa,
on BTN wow. Soccer Report. So a load of names that came through back then that obviously had great careers in MLS.
Yeah,
amazing. Kevin Egan, make sure you go follow Kevin on Instagram or Twitter. His Instagram is right here, Kevin_Egan. My man does just...
Kev underscore Egan.
Apologies, but they see it on the screen. Yeah. But thank you so much for joining me, man. Seriously, this has been super cool and, yeah, an honor. And yeah, you're welcome back anytime.
Cheers, right. Fellas. Now a few points and a sing song.
Let's go.
Do you know Pop Smoke for that sing song? All right. Love you guys. Thanks again to Kevin Egan. What a great interview.
Shout out to Kevin. Look, we're huge fans.
Yeah. Wasn't really much of a gamble to have him on the show.
I mean, wasn't even a risk. You know? But this segment.
Wow. Speaking of gambling.
Speaking of gambling.
Dude, you tripped all over that segment. What happened there?
Man, I barreled into it, bro.
you just Kool-Aid, man, into that.
We got another Kooligans parlay in the DraftKings app. So the Premier League, the final, it's what is it called?
Championship Sunday.
Championship Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Championship Sunday. Come get your pies and mash.
Okay. All right.
Everything we eat is great.
There'll be goals and monster trucks.
Yeah, that's right.
So we got a parlay that we feel pretty good about.
Yeah.
Okay.
A Kooligans parlay.
Okay. All right.
These are three legs.
It's just like
each of us.
that was my nickname in college. Yeah,
damn.
Anyway.
Mine was Moneyline.
I swear we'll get to the parlay, everybody.
Actually how I asked out my wife. I said, hey, you want to go out? I think both teams are going to score. You get what I'm saying?
Wow, there it is, folks. even through in the DraftKings app, we can make sexual innuendos. The talent on this show knows no bounds.
We really are special.
But okay, so three.
And so is this parlay.
That's right, because there's three games that we're focusing in on. Luton Town is up first again. Luton is at home.
They're most likely going to get relegated. They have a minus 12, I think, the differential between them and Nottingham Forest. So if Nottingham Forest lose and they win and they beat Fulham by more than 12 goals, they are no longer relegated. So they're probably going to get relegated. But it's at the Kenny. It's the final match in the Premier League.
And they need to score goals.
They're
going to be desperate.
So they're going to be trying. Fulham's like, yo, we good, bro. We in purgatory, bro.
We're chilling, okay? So we're going for Luton moneyline here. We think Luton's going to win this game. So that's at plus 195
right there. 195.
Next up. Sheffield at home versus Tottenham. Tottenham,
that's right.
they couldn't do it against Manchester City, who are at the top of the table, but can they do it against a team at the bottom of the table?
On a warm day in Sheffield.
On a nice, comfy day in Sheffield.
And also after Ange Postecoglou called out everyone from the secretary to the assistant coaches and the fans. But I think they're going to bring it back together on this one.
Uh-huh.
They're going to beat Sheffield, which is not that difficult. Minus 280, so it's starting to balance out. Let's get a little crazy on this last one.
Okay,
huh?
Now Crystal Palace against Aston Villa. Crystal Palace is at home. So this is the one we have a double chance.
That's
here.
Right. Villa is already qualified for Champions League. They're goody. They can't slip out of that spot. Mm-hmm. They just had their award ceremony. I don't know if you saw Emi Martinez spraying down the coach with champagne. You do that in my house, you're automatically out. you're getting traded to MLS.
Right. Once I guess that was when they got the news that they qualified for Champions League. So he was quite happy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody except Ollie Watkins, he's like, damn, I'm an Arsenal fan. That's not good. But we're going to pick a double chance here, which if you don't know what that is, that's you're not just picking a team to win or tie.
Exactly. So Crystal Palace, either win or tie. That's at minus 340. The entirely, the three-pick parlay is plus 418. So if you bet $10, you can win 50. If you bet 100, you can win 518. So
I said put 1,000.
Put 1,000. Now, look, we could just keep adding. Put $1 million.
How much you win if you put 100,000? You win $500,000.
Okay.
Because of us. Now is a good time to say, please don't do that.
Please,
unless,
please,
hey, it ain't tricking if you got it.
Please bet responsibly because this is not responsible right here. Okay.
Take a couple zeros off that.
Okay, so you have an opportunity.
There you go. This is nice. You got 100. You got 100 burning in your pocket.
We feel good about it. All right, so best of luck. Go to the DraftKings app. You can see our parlay right there, and you can place your bet. So go check it out. And as always, thank you again, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of the Cooligans. We appreciate you. Y'all the absolute best. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. You know,
hit the subscribe button. Tell your friends to hit the subscribe button. And when they say subscribe to what, you say it's just the greatest goddamn show in the world.
Exactly. Okay. Cooligans. So we've already given you the marketing pitch. So if you're in any elevator, you got the elevator pitch right there. Yeah.
Grab the person's phone next to you on an elevator and go to Cooligans and hit subscribe. Exactly. They'll thank you. Trust me.
Install the DraftKings app. Bet on this parlay as well.
With their Apple Pay. Just put the phone in their face. It'll allow
you're gonna
you
get in huge trouble.
But we said is illegal.
But we're talking about promoting the podcast.
What's more important, your freedom or the success of the show?
All right, everybody. Y'all the absolute best. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Love you guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.